All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. In terms of randomizing games, I know that we have flipped to a random page in a book before.
Yes.
But there are a lot of different kinds of books. Admit it.
Magazines. Novels.
Admit it.
Yes, I agree with your premise.
Thank you. That's I just say that, you know, I'm doing good for a very aggressive style of improv.
Okay.
Yes, and isn't good enough. I need...
You just need affirmative and ongoing yes and.
Yeah, just a yes and in no uncertain fucking terms. So I went to the library. I said, like, listen, we've been doing these randomizations for the show. They said what the show is about. I'm like, I don't really like to talk about it because it's weird. And then, you know, it kind of went on for a little while. But eventually I said, you know, what's your weirdest book that you have? Because I'm trying to really give us a challenge. And I have here the Encyclopedia of Disgraced Boxers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
heard this guy on the cover's holding a gun. He clearly broke the rules.
Yeah. No, this guy's using the stinger.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's Mike Tyson just eating a big plate of ears. Like it's just because he loves them shits.
Yeah.
You know. So I figured we'd flip to a random page, and then kind of look through the page and see if anything suggests a you know, when we look at the list of the crimes that these boxers have done. See if there's any crimes or consecutive crimes that suggest a game.
Okay. I wonder if they include old Murderin' Joe.
Oh, Murderin' Joe. Yeah, I hope so.
Yes.
Yeah, as far as who's your favorite disgraced boxer?
I just said it. Old Murderin' Joe.
Old Murderin' Joe is really good.
Don't make me think of a new one.
No. I won't. I think that, yeah, he's I think he's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I like the way that he killed all of his opponents.
Yep.
And that they didn't find out for a while.
Right.
So he got to continue boxing for a surprisingly long time.
He didn't kill them in the ring. It was he mostly just ran them down in his car afterwards.
Yeah, or beforehand. And then they would wheel the corpse up to the stage and just hold his boxing glove up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
He would just punch the corpse in front of his orphans.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like old Murderin' Joe was a classic. Yep. There was a golden time for bad boxing.
Absolutely. You know? Just riding the rails from city to city, punching people. Yep. I also like Soda Popinski.
Soda Popinski is very disgraced.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's you know, being able to drink a power up drink.
Yeah. No.
Is not great. Also, you know, Andrew Ryan.
It's Aaron Ryan.
Aaron Ryan, yeah. Andrew Ryan. Well, Andrew Ryan got into a little bit of boxing himself, actually.
A little bit, yeah. With fisticuffs, a gentleman's sport.
Which you kindly rocked us me, yeah. You know? And, yeah.
You know what I like doing, Gary? I like calling things that aren't boxing the sweet science.
That's good.
That's not like a, I mean, it's a joke, but also it's a real thing that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I will look at my brother doing something like, oh yeah, fertilizing the lawn, the sweet science.
That is the sweet science to me. to me that is the sweet science. Love it. So I'm gonna flip to this random page.
Okay.
Okay, it looks like this is Jacob Chesterfuck, and flipping through here we got his crimes. Okay, first one, manslaughter. Come on, get specific. Okay,
yeah.
Most of these are manslaughters.
Right.
Here we got performance enhancing tooth. I don't know what that means. It's not a game. Looking through here. Okay, look. Looks like here in 1979, he purposely took a dive.
Okay.
So that's pretty mild crime.
Right. But, rolling in some Pete Rose shit.
Yeah, that's not.
I mean, everybody knows boxing crooked. Boxing is crooked. It's fun.
Super crooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got it's weird Vegas DNA.
No.
And then look. Oh, you know, one of the boxing, much like it's like the reverse of soccer, of course. It looks like at this point, he kicked his opponent, Jacob Dick, in the face.
Huh. Oh, so he took a dive and then he kicked.
Yeah.
Dive.
Yeah.
Kick.
And that's what ultimately got him. Let's put that into the memory.
Okay.
That I own, because I know that is a game.
Oh, that's a video game. Yeah.
Let's give the game computer an old rest.
Yeah. Let's just talk about Dive Kick.
Thank you. never in any of our randomizations ever wanted something more than the thing that I just made up. Like, I would love an encyclopedia of disgraced boxers that was actually like extreme boxer crimes.
It would be pretty good.
That would be really fun. That's a fun idea for like a fake book and something. Like, I should text Riff.
Yeah.
Because the, you know, and also the idea of a boxer bringing a gun to a bout is very funny to me as well. Like,
right.
Not to pat myself on the back too much. But, I think
but like, how would he shoot it? Because boxing gloves are like notoriously unwieldy.
He'd be holding it inside the boxing glove.
Oh.
So it would shoot from within.
Right. It'd be like using a pillow as a silencer.
Exactly. No one would know. The sweet silence.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love that. I'm more and more, I'm a fan of just like reference books or list books kind of things. Like,
I've got a
whole series of books, like the Atlas of Remote Islands, the Atlas of Cursed Places, the Atlas of Forgotten Cities and things like that. Way into a book right now called Man After Man, which is just like a big monster manual of ways that humankind will evolve in 5 million years and all these crazy space monsters and stuff. I would love to have that on my coffee table reference collection.
I love those books too. And I would love this specific book.
No.
And I love those books you've mentioned. And I like the books I already own as well.
Yes.
Like, it is great. I need to get back into that. I've got probably a bunch of them are from games and stuff, but I probably have 11 or 12 things I would consider to be like bestiaries. And I would like to have that be a more significant collection.
Yes.
And if I'm like designing a house in a sim sense, I would have those on a bespoke shelf.
Yes. Yeah. This is where my beasties go.
This is where like my monster hunting.
Yeah. Got my new book of yokai there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dive Kick.
Oh, who are you?
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross. Yeah.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where I feel like this intro has maybe one or two episodes left.
Probably.
We're missing the Griddler. It needs the Griddler.
Yes.
All it takes is recording three episodes in one day to make me tired or something.
Yep.
So, this is a lot of pressure on this episode to come up with a catchphrase.
But. We'll see how we feel in 2 weeks when we record again. And this week we were talking about Dive Kick, which is not a bad game. This is a backer demand by Quinn, who says this game is both beautiful and terrible, a fighting game boiled down to the purest of essences. One button is jump, the other button kick, no other controls.
It's like a Ludum Dare, you know, thing. Right? Like, it feels like it's just an experiment, but it's a successful experiment. Like, this is, I think we played this at a Duck Stream at some point, and I played it a little bit myself. Nick is a big fan.
Have you ever run into an arcade game version of this?
No.
It's actually really cool. They had one at Arcade Legacy back in Cincinnati, and it was literally just the two buttons in front of you, four buttons because you can play one-on-one, but yeah, it's just gigantic buttons that you are pressing.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think this is a great party game.
Yeah.
Like, this is really fun. So the concept behind Dive Kick, if people don't know, and we'll get into the flavor of it, which is where it starts to be annoying, right?
Right.
Like, it's annoying and kind of racist. But the Zumbini character is a terrible stereotype. the concept is, in fighting games, there's a move called a dive kick in Capcom fighting games.
Yes.
This is a game where that's all you can do. So you can jump. Every fighter has a different angle and height of jump. And you can kick, which is to move down at kind of roughly 45 degree angle, even though the angles vary. For fighters, and each fighter has one hit point per round, and that's it.
Yes.
All you can do is jump and dive. Your characters will automatically face each other, and you control spacing by how high you jump before you kick.
Yes, and you can also press the kick button while you're on the ground to do like a little backward jump kind of deal.
Yeah.
To get a little bit more space. But yeah, like, it's almost entirely like in my mind, like, this, it kind of just reminds me of Bushido Blade a little bit.
Yeah,
I understand Bushido Blade is more complicated than this, but like, the matches end super quickly and it is just entirely about trying to find a momentary advantage.
And yeah,
to goad somebody into committing to something that you can, you know, to create an opening for you to get them.
And it's, and like Bushido Blade, it's a, like a secret, really fun party game.
Yeah.
Because matches go so quickly that you're passing the controller.
Yeah.
Really quickly. Like Bushido Blade is a great secret. Like if you've never done that, like it's really fun to just like, you know, I play winner on a rotation on Bushido Blade. We should do that actually for Darkstream next year.
That would be really good. Yeah.
I love Bushido. I love playing Bushido Blade that way. Mm-hmm. And then for bonus comedy options, just do the first person mode for a little while, which is everyone forgets that was included and it's absolutely insane. But it's just really, really fun. Like everyone can play it. There is strategy involved. Mm-hmm. Like it's not nothing. Like the inputs that you're boiled down to do not necessarily limit the amount of skill required to do this. And there are a couple of like hidden things. So like everyone has a super move. Mm-hmm. So your character choice matters.
Yeah.
And the super moves kind of have different efficacies. And then there are advanced like frame jabs and shit. Like when you activate your super move, you do it by hitting both buttons at the same time, but you don't have to hit them at exactly the same time. So if you kind of roll the controller, you'll start doing one of the moves and then roll into the secret move.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of head fake them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you kind of head fake them. It's like this specific kind of cancel. Mm-hmm. And like, taking those kinds of advanced level mechanics, which are always part of these high level fighting game things, and boiling down the input down to where like a layman can understand them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is actually in some ways like almost very educational in terms of understanding conceptual fighting game things.
Yes.
Like this is like the applied math of high level fighting games.
I would absolutely agree with that, specifically because like this feels like it would be an entry into something else, because I mean, just the input scheme on a lot of regular fighting games can be kind of intimidating. Whereas this is boiled down to just a handful of decisions that you have to make, and it is entirely about, I mean, it's entirely about anticipating enemy or anticipating your enemy's behavior, right? What they might do in a given situation, which is where fighting games generally, in my experience and my opinion, come alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very fun in terms of like wireframe.
Yes. The theming and the subject matter, it is definitely intending to be funny, but it is mining or pumping from the open sewer that is the fighting game community in jokes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it gives you that constant, like, here's a thing.
Yeah.
In a video game, I literally never want to see something based on a streamer
or
something like that. No. Like if you put a streamer in my fucking video game, like no. Like eventually, you know, any like I think of like, oh, there's some kart racer that's really fun, and then someone's gonna be like, oh look, now you can play as Dr. Disrespect. Go fuck yourself.
Yep. Nope. Doesn't like, exist anymore.
The trash.
Memory hold.
Like, yeah. Go. Like I still remember when they had those action figures of Tube Heroes.
Ugh.
Before they all went on clearance, and you could buy like, you know, just this Minecraft streamer, you can buy a little action figure of them, and I just remember being bewildered by it then, and I'm bewildered by it now. And here it just feels like I'm so outside of the joke. I have no idea what's supposed to be funny
right
about this, like this announcer that announces for Evo tournaments having a character, so he like does his, you know, catch quips,
right?
Really, really annoying.
Absolutely. Very, yeah. Not a fan of that in the least. It feels exclusionary, it says the podcaster who does a lot of in jokes kind of thing.
It's like, yeah, it's just it's exclusionary like on a level where this is made for like a culture, right? Yeah. Like our in like we can see, we have it in jokes because we're building like a thing, right? Like those have to do with us. We made the stuff, it's in our past. Like we're not doing catering specifically to a culture, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not constantly bringing up the Gibberlings 3. Like I'm not constantly bringing up like Baldur's Gate, you know, mod communities and stuff right. Like it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we'll every once in a while we'll be like, this conversation happened in the Slack, or this person from the Slack said this.
Yeah.
But we're not featuring them in a video game that we're putting on Steam.
Yeah.
You know, so some of them are references to fighting game characters, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are funny. There are no jokes in this that are worth, smiling at.
Yeah, like the Mortal Kombat character is Kung Pao as opposed to Kung Lao.
Yeah. And the character who is the tournament guy, who's Jeff or Alex Jeff Jabali, is Alex Jafaili.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah. The parody, you know? The parody of Dr. Doom from Marvel versus Capcom is Dr. Victoria Scholes. Also, it's like Dr. Scholes, the foot pad things.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah. it's rough. It's rough stuff.
Yeah.
The humor, and it is very like ancient wise master kung fu movie.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, I said kind of racist. I didn't mean kind of, right? Like, that's an operative word. Like, it's not that much more racist than, say, like, you know, the new Shaq Fu game. Right. Like, anytime you're going to have like a wise old like Pai Mei character doing a voice, that's a little bit racist.
Yeah.
You know, here it's really in your face. He's constantly talking to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the theming is just not great, and I don't care for that disparity one bit, because like that would probably impact who I showed this to. Like if I pulled this out at a notional party that I might hold, like I would have like a little bit of a reservation caught in the back of my throat, like, oh, is this gonna be like just like bad and embarrassing? Like, will other people not be able to look past this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Is this? Yeah. So it's not my fave.
Right.
Not my fave. That bit. It is very fun to play in wireframe. They patched in some hidden characters. They throw in the Saints Row guy, Johnny Gat.
They throw in the Fencer from Nidhogg, which is a good.
I think the Fencer is fun because I love different art style. Like, it's like how if you don't switch to the you know, cell shaded version of Spider-Man in Marvel Spider-Man, you're a cop.
Like, of course. Yeah.
You know. And also the Nidhogg fighter is very effective because he's a fencer. So he has a sword, which he can throw, which you can like drop and then like go and pick up. And that like adds this little strategy layer of like trying to get to that, which is cool.
Yeah. There's just like another mechanic about this that I really like while we're just kind of summarizing this game we enjoy, is the kind of the concussion system in it. So if you hit somebody in the head, like if you knock somebody out by kicking them in the head, they start off the next round just a little bit like dazed and confused. And they're a little bit slow. So it's a way, I mean, yeah, it's a poor get poorer mechanic, but it is a way to, you know, make a choice, because hitting somebody in the head is pretty difficult. You have to be really high up on them, in order to get like a longer term advantage, that you might want to press early on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes it is easier to, it's easy just to get the win, but if you want the setup for the double win.
Yeah.
It's a cool little risk reward thing that can happen. You have a super meter that's like filling up as you play.
Yeah.
And that allows you to do your super moves, which are kind of various things. And you can also go into like kick mode or what have you, which sometimes gives you invincibility, sometimes doesn't. You know, all pretty good.
Yeah.
Very grockable, would be better in wireframe than it is with this overlay, but a good party game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And having a game that's this simple and this good is a weird challenge for this show. Especially as episode 3 that we're recording today, when any kind of digressive material or energy is now on the floor.
Yep. No, we definitely spent it. We spent it on the field.
I have a thing I've been saving for Duckfest, but I can come up with something different.
Okay.
That I can throw against the wall and see if it sticks.
Okay.
Should I break this glass?
I think you should. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the, I have this plan, and this plan is still continuous. It's not really a surprise, so I don't feel bad about saying it. On the couple weeks before Duckfest, make a conscious effort to do some stupid shit with the idea that maybe it will come up with good digressions.
Okay.
So like, I want to be able to feel very safe in having, being able to like just fall back on something that happened in real life.
Yeah.
In case, you know,
are you looking at like creating complicated and intractable situations for yourself? Are you going to go get something amputated?
Like, no. It's you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I give you the example of the one I did.
Okay.
Yesterday.
All right.
Of doing, and much like I feared, it led to nothing.
Oh,
like it did not end up leading to a funny situation, but but I think it's a funny idea, and I figured I would share it with you and see if we can make hay out of it.
Okay.
So yesterday when I was brainstorming, I have a list. I was brainstorming things to do. I did the first one.
Cool.
And I ate an apple in the shower.
Okay. So, you know, so, okay. So this
apple
is
apple shower or shower apples a thing.
yeah, this is, I thought it was like day trips or like activities or a weird store you would go to.
Nope.
reuniting with some people you haven't talked to since high school to see where their lives have gone.
Nope.
They found, no, this is small ball.
I ate an apple in the shower. So I was trying to make shower apples a thing.
Okay. As far as I'm aware, shower apples are not a thing. I'm aware of shower beers. Can you meet halfway and do a shower cider?
Shower cider is pretty funny. I didn't think about that. That's a pretty good split the difference.
Yeah.
There. I've had a shower beer and a shower apple now.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm uniquely served.
Which which do you prefer?
Shower beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
the thing about an apple is it's kind of a project.
Yeah. Like there's a core, like for maybe 8 hours. There was an apple core in the corner of my shower that I forgot about. And every time I pissed, I was like, why does my piss smell like apple?
Okay.
That can't be right.
Well, that's worrisome is the thing.
Very worrisome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. And Pocket didn't just like go to town on that. Cause I can't leave like strawberry hulls around if I'm eating her stuff. Yeah. Cause Greta just gets into that shit.
Now Pocket is not motivated by food.
Gotcha.
He's, even though I did buy him a 50 pack of his favorite treat.
Oh, yes.
The meat go-gurt.
Yes.
I told you about that, a Naboo churro.
Yeah.
That he loves. So he's very happy about that. Yeah. And I said it and he like perked up because it's like the one word he recognizes. So yeah, shower apples.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about eating an apple.
Just in general or in a shower?
Well, it's the thing about eating an apple and then how it could be complicated by doing that activity in a shower.
Okay.
Is that you cannot. So the thing about a shower beer is like you put the beer down, you like drink the beer, you put the beer down, you work the shampoo in your hair, you pick the beer up, you have a drink.
Yeah.
Then you like, you know, you clean off your dick, you pick up the shower and then you like rub the soap on each individual testicle.
Right.
Like small concentric circles.
When you shower, are you starting with your junk?
I legitimately always start with my junk.
Oh, wow.
I just feel like it needs the most attention. And if something happens and I get called out of the shower, it's like the part I really want to make sure is clean.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. So this is the bug out bag approach to showering.
It's exactly. It's my bug out sack. Like my bug out ball
gotcha.
Bag.
Gotcha.
Okay. I don't think anything's going to happen, but it is just that, you know, and I'm not particularly filthy or anything like that. Like most of the times I feel like my genitals are probably cleaner than most, but I like to, sweat. Accumulates there.
Yeah, no, yeah. It is definitely a nexus of it's a problem. It's a problem zone for sure. You know,
look at like ranking the areas to shower.
Yeah.
Right. Like I think genitals goes first, then probably asshole, and then armpit.
If I was doing a Kansas City car or a car wash. Yeah. Just bathing myself out of a gas station sink. Those would be the places that I would hit.
Yeah.
But for me, the shower is a place where, and this is nothing but Seinfeld references, but you know, I learned it from that. You have to, I apply gravity to it. I start at the top, like, you know, obviously I wash my face, with something different. Cause I don't use the same bath poof that I use on my asshole on my face, but I start at the neck and then work my way down, and that way the suds will roll, you know. I mean, you don't want to work against gravity.
I don't feel like I'm working against gravity. Like I still end up washing my whole body and I don't take showers for very long.
Yeah,
and stuff, and it still works out okay.
Gotcha.
Regardless of which, so like, and that's how a shower beer works. Like now it's on, you move on to asshole and you just like, you just scrub that stuff out.
You can put it down without feeling like it's going to be contaminated because it's in a can. It's in a can. Yeah. and the neck is going to be narrow.
And an apple, I held the entire time and didn't realize how many shower things require both hands.
Yes.
So what the reality of shower apple was that I stood and ate an apple and in then, the rain, essentially.
Right. And in very warm shower. Rain. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just stood naked in my house eating an apple, just staring. No, like, ordinarily if I eat an apple, I'm watching a show or I'm like petting right, or I'm doing right. something. Just me staring at a faucet eating an apple, then put the apple down and just being like, I guess this just goes on the corner where the shampoo would go.
Right.
Then took an unrelated shower. Then it's like, that was weird. And then like got out and forgot about the apple until 8 hours later.
Every way that I could suggest improving that experience would compromise the shower apple essence of the experience.
Yeah. Compromise right? the shower or the apple, like yeah. apple segments. Yeah, maybe it'd be easier, but like
yeah, apple segments that you keep on a small plate outside of the shower, and you reach out and grab an apple segment, so you're always chewing on apple while you are doing shower things. Yeah. But that feels like cheating.
Then it might as well just be apple flavored gum. You know, and that's like, I've done shower gum before.
Right,
shower
right.
gum is fine.
Yeah,
you know, and if I don't have anywhere to put that plate, like instead of a small, you know, platform or something like that, I could have a tall man holding the apples right. outside the shower.
Right, you could hire an apple, a shower a apple attendant. Man.
Yeah, yeah. I got an apple shower guy.
Yeah,
you know, so like that wouldn't really help. And then with other foods, I was thinking about other fruits that would make this easier.
Grapes.
And like grapes, yeah, but you'd still have to put them down somewhere. Like the issue is putting down an unprotected fruit in a shower.
Right. It's gonna cover with soap and shit.
Yeah, like so best case scenario, yeah, right? Like yeah. I tend to
well,
think
I said soap and
is,
shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Like I, you know, the I tend to think of the shower as a relatively clean place, but right. not with like things, not food quality clean.
Right, right. No, you know? I mean, there's a reason you're in there. The stuff that yeah. water's washing off is not necessarily.
It's not good.
Yeah.
But, you know, so then I was like, what about some grapes on like a leaf of lettuce? And then I was like, well, why does it have to be an edible thing? Because I'm yeah. not going to eat that leaf of lettuce. Why couldn't it just be a little plate? But then I was like, none of these plates will fit on the lip of my bathtub.
Wait, so put like some grapes in a small Tupperware?
Tupperware grapes might work.
Yeah.
Like maybe like a wide mouth, like one of those like smoothie things, but like with a wide mouth, all the grapes are in and you can yeah. just chug a grape.
Yeah.
But then it might as well just be a beer. And then it's like, why am I having a wine, like shower wine?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say shower wine. What kind of wine is best for a shower?
What pairs with a shower?
A rosé. Like
I think a white.
Oh.
Because the thing I like about shower beer is that you're in a hot shower and you're drinking a cold drink. It's got like hot tub appeal.
Yes.
You know, yeah. a red wine in the shower makes me want to puke. Like
yeah.
that's just like, oh, just like a tep. It would just get really hot, like oh. in the shower really fast.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah. No, but if you're just rocking a chilled white, the thing yeah. is, if you spill red wine, guess what? If you spill red wine on your porcelain, you're not getting that security deposit.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah. I was just thinking about spilling on your body and it being kind of fun.
Well, yeah, of course.
Like in the shower.
just like getting a nosebleed. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like getting a nosebleed or just like, oh, like a werewolf attack. Like, this is great. You know, I would be into that. So mm-hmm. as far as like ideal shower foods.
Yeah.
You know, apple is kind of up there, but also pretty unideal. You know, it's a real conundrum.
Yeah, no, and I probably couldn't tell you the last time I ate an apple, but just by taking a bite out of the side of it.
Oh, really?
Is the thing, like, I understand that part of the appeal of the apple is the portability. The pro move is to stand leaning against a wall, cutting slices off of it with a knife, and then eating the slices off of the knife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While giving bad advice to teens.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I can see that for sure.
Yeah. No, I take a paring knife and I just cut off what I want to eat from the, from the apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just eat the apple.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I use one of those, you know, cutters to cut it into a segment.
You use the Omnitasker?
Yes. Yeah.
The Apple Omnitasker. I am against the Omnitasker or the Unitasker. No, well, yeah. I would be into an Omnitasker.
Well, I mean, an Omnitasker is just a paring knife.
Yeah, like that can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've got one of those. I don't like cleaning it, so that's why I use the paring knife. That's why I like yeah. that.
Yeah, I don't like cleaning a garlic press.
Mm.
Like I know that's a Unitasker that I don't like as well because it's annoying to clean. I'd rather just chop up the garlic.
Yeah. Just, you know, if you're going to just mince the garlic a little bit and then press it with the side of the mm-hmm. knife, it's fine.
Yeah. It's okay for a rustic cut of garlic.
Yes.
In my opinion.
If it's just for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Shower garlic is gross. What is there a shower food that we're not thinking about that.
Shower spaghetti.
Shower spaghetti. Shower spaghetti. Shower wing. It's in the bottom of the drain. There's just a big pile of bones. Bones and gristle. Yeah. Just creating a bad soup in the bottom of the tub.
I just picture doing that in a campground.
Yeah.
A shared shower in a campground.
It'd be fun to create some mysteries for people in public showers like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You know, like just like bring in some wings just to throw in after the shower and just put them there so somebody has a good day on Instagram. You know?
Like, that's the thing, you're making the world a little bit more magical.
Yeah. Yeah, by just keeping some chicken wings in your pocket.
Yeah. I mean like what okay, you don't keep chicken wings in your pocket. What are you distracting dogs with?
Yeah. Like sausage links? Get out of here. Are you a fucking cartoon? Grow up. You know? Yeah. So I think that the shower food experiment, like, which, you know, but this was a limited resource. It's like I used an X potion in the first act of a Final Fantasy. I feel like this, the exact thing we just said could have been during any of the shows in which we need to horse shit during Duckfest.
Yep.
I used it now, but that's okay because too good to use syndrome. Like, certainly too good is not how I describe shower apples as a concept, but also divesting yourself of too good to use syndrome is good.
Yeah. I mean, so to disabuse you of that notion, to make you feel less bad about this, consider it a preview.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the kind of dumbass stuff I'm going to do. And we're going to talk about. You know, it's going to show up if we run out of things to right. talk about. One of the things I was thinking about with Duckfest and legitimacy is the tonal whiplash part of it, because you and I are responsible. And I think that we put ourselves into things like Bonfire Side Chat and Abject Suffering, but doing them back to back in the same day, it's going to be really hard for them not to bleed. To be like the goofiest fucking Watch Out for Fireballs or Bonfire Side Chat ever.
But the thing is, both of those get goofy,
but not like goofy like this.
Yeah,
not
I suppose.
Yeah. So it's just going to be interesting. I think that's good. I think that's like, it'll move things along and be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to keep the energy up. And honestly, I don't want anybody to know what to expect next. I want to create a sense of danger. And unpredictability. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been looking at fire codes and studying them, and I'm just going to leave that right there.
Okay.
So just you can make of that what you will, listeners.
Yeah. Are you going to eat? Can we bring a portable shower and have you demonstrate the apple?
Demonstrate the shower apple.
Yeah.
Next time I'll take a video.
Okay. Cool.
I'll take a GoPro and we can make the VR experience, the PSVR shower apple experience. There's a ludum dare right there.
Ooh.
You know, because like on one hand you have to be always be holding the apple, and it's like, how can you shower in one hand? Like, it's difficult to, like, you know. Apply soap to a sponge or to a poof.
That's the thing. So easy mode is just picking up a bar of soap like a fucking animal, and then
I go through bar of soap phases, but I buy fancy Bard soap.
Yeah, I get like the Dr. Bronner's Bard soap if I want something that smells like peppermint.
Yeah, I just do. I mean, I do the Dr. Bronner's normal soap.
Right, right.
But then if I want a bar soap, I'll see what kind of things have like oats in them and shit.
My problem with the Dr. Bronner's soap, I've tried it a couple of times. I cannot get the lather necessary for me to feel like I'm clean.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me with the actual soap stuff, I just need to use more of it than I think.
No.
You know, for that. And I also, you can dilute it. I did that for the first time. I was like, oh shit, like this stuff seems expensive, but it's every bottle is like actually three times as much.
Yes.
So it's like a year supply.
Mm-hmm. I think that's everything I have to say about Divekick. Yeah. There's one review where somebody just especially does not like this video game.
They just especially didn't get it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's very annoying to me.
Yeah.
Like, story-wise, it's the usual fighting game fare. Yeah. Well, no shit. Like, it's a fighting game parody.
Yeah.
You know, the game has beautiful, nice sprites and beautiful animation. First of all, like, not really, actually.
No, it's kind of awkward.
But second of all, like, you're kind of missing the point.
Yeah. You know? What in God's name is this bleep? You've taken the concept of a fighting game and turned it into a goddamn staring contest. The first person to screw up loses. Yeah.
Well, but also you're discounting the very clever way they stop you from doing timeouts.
Yes.
Like, did you get to that thing, that toe the line mechanic?
No.
Thing. So if the time is running out, they do a thing where they put a red line in the middle, and then they put a timer. If people have been going for long enough, they put a red line in the middle, and then a timer goes out, and whoever is closest to the red line wins.
Okay.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, because it's getting you both to rush to the same spot and possibly kill each other.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's you know, and it puts you in contact with each other.
Yeah.
You know, whether you want to be or not. It's worth noting that this this guy's review is 2,172 words, though.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, this is a pretty big review of this thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at, so this is glass_soul. Okay. I'm trying to see if they have any other like bad and wrong opinions. Yeah, there's nothing that I can see. Like
he's almost exclusively reviewed things I've never heard of. Like he has very strong opinions on Adam's Venture Chronicles and Blood of the Werewolf.
Yeah, what's this one? I'll say Revenge of the Wounded Dragons.
Yeah, I don't
on the PlayStation. What are you, hey buddy? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't like that he gave Duke Nukem 3D 3 stars.
No,
he's reviewing it how the 3D isn't impressive nowadays. I don't know, this guy sucks.
Yeah, this guy's bad.
this dude sucks ass.
How could GameFAQs let him on there? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know, like, where are your standards, GameFAQs? Let's write a review of that.
Can we review GameFAQs on Yelp?
Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Soldner X Himmelstrummer. You that's need like, to check this
that's
one
like
out.
A really kind of crunchy, almost like an Arma kind of game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hates Illusion of Gaia. Hates. Yeah, this guy's rough.
Yeah.
He likes the Scott Pilgrim game, which I think is also good personally. Yeah. But Borderlands 2, one of the greatest. Okay.
Yep.
Nope. Okay, bud.
Goodbye.
Yeah, you're out.
Get in the shower.
Hit the showers. Grab an apple while you're out.
Grab an apple and into the showers. You're done for today.
Excuse me, coach. It's almost like a kind of bobbing for apples in 3D. Oh. You know?
We need to stop. Eventually, like we've established that nobody's going to stop us. So, like, at a certain point we have to stop ourselves, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have things to do.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
So that's the nice thing.
Yes.
Okay. Everyone, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you. If you like this show, surprise us.
Yeah, surprise us and head to DuckFest and patreon.com/DuckFeedTV.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. And until next time, who is Shower Dog?